Dear Lord, we're just so thankful right now, Lord Jesus, for this time that we can gather before you, Lord, to hear what you're going to speak to our hearts through our Pastor Karen, and Lord, as we're led in worship. We just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to praise and worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And we'd like to welcome Richard, who's taking Pastor Karen's place, who's out of town. Thank you so much, Richard.
How about
Pastor Janet?
Pastor Janet.
Okay, yeah. I don't know how to play the keyboard. I took a year piano, but I don't know how to. But I would like, if everybody could stand, we're going to open the opening scripture. We're going to read that together, and it should be on the overhead. And so it's Galatians 5:1. That's our opening scripture. So let's read that together. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Amen. Oh, sorry, Debbie. I'm having her stand in the like. So, but isn't that awesome? And I'm excited about what God has given. And once again, as last night, Richard and I did the chapel service at the jail at the minimum security facility. And we saw how the worship songs that, as he prayed for the Lord and led, tied in with the message God had me share. We had one salvation! Woohoo! And then we had three rededications, and it was so cool. I mean, God was partying! So the angels were so excited. And so it was really neat. It was a blessed service. The worship, the message, the prayer time, it was just so exciting. And seeing that hope that they have. And then look at this scripture. I mean, we just celebrated the 4th of July. But this message will tie in. And it is so exciting what we have in our Lord. So let us come to him in worship. Thank you so much, Richard.
During the songs, we may sing a new song this morning. You just never know. Lord, we're your people, and this morning we just want to lift our voice before you to bless your holy name and to tell you, Lord, how much we love you and how much you mean to us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we worship you, that you will inhabit our praise and that you'll visit us this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for last evening and for the young women who just passionately worshiped you in that prison. And Lord, I know that you were there and you were ministering because there was just too many tears. And Lord, you changed lives. You blessed and you encouraged all of us, and it carries over this morning, and we're thankful. Lord, we just want to shout your holy name.
Breaks the heavy yoke when you shout, shout.
when his enemies flee. But there's a cry in our hearts, like when deep calls unto the deep, for your breath of deliverance to breathe on the music we so desperately need, Lord. But without your power, are we have all these simple songs. If you'd step down from heaven, then the gates of hell would surely fall. Look forward to this day, Lord. For so many years, your word says in the that these are the days of Elijah. miracles, interaction with you, Lord, the mighty works that you've done in the past, we see you doing them today. We're thankful, Lord. We're thankful for what you've done and what you're doing. We declare your word today, Lord.
Last night was just incredible. I love the way Richard just goes with the flow of the Lord and leading. And I don't know about you, but sometimes do you ever like come up with a song in your head? All of a sudden a worship song comes, or maybe another song, or sometimes what I do is create songs, and sometimes it'll be to a secular tune, or I'll change the words up of a song that I remember like in high school or something like that, and I'll just change the words up, and I'll be praising and worship the Lord. And some days, I don't know about you, but I don't know if this happens with any of you, but for me, some days are more than other days. Like anything somebody says or I see something triggers another song unto the Lord. And I think of King David, and because I was being more of myself last night. And so,
it was fun.
So, I was just having a good time. And I was just telling the ladies about how we can worship the Lord in all different ways. And I was singing a hymn. But then I was saying, can you imagine this hymn? You know, like a cowboy worshiping the Lord. I said, can you sing see this hymn? And I started singing the hymn as a rap song. And I said, pretend that I have a rap. But I was like, you know, that's one thing about our worship unto the Lord. It is our personal worship unto the Lord. It is our way of joining together with others. But we are uniting together in the Spirit, praising and worshiping the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the great I Am, God Almighty, and thanking Him for His Holy Spirit. Thanking Him for what, as Richard was saying, what Jesus did for us. Because we have all of that fullness of God is ours through Jesus being our Lord and Savior. Because that's what God says. He said He was pleased to have all of His fullness to be in Jesus. And then reconciling men, people on earth, all things on earth actually, and then things in heaven by making peace through the blood that was shed on the cross. He wanted to do that because of His love for us. Not because of our love for Him, because of His love for us. Because of His love for us, everything that we have is His. The air that we breathe is a gift from our Lord. And all increase that we get, that is our Lord's too. And so we're going to be having our time where we have our give back to the Lord His tithes and then our offerings as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And just do this as you feel led by the Lord. But this is the time where we can just bless the Lord and continue our praise and worship unto Him for what He has given us. So thank you, Lord, for this special time. Chris, could you pray before? And then we'll sing a hymn a cappella.
Well, I was remembering the scripture that says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And when we were singing the song about days of Elijah, when I went to Israel in 2003, we sang it in a boat. In fact, there were two boats that they connected on the Sea of Galilee. We were singing that and jumping and dancing, and you started it, and it just reminded me of everything. God is so good. He is just so good. And He gives us every good and perfect gift. So, Lord, I just ask that You would remind us regularly how blessed we are to have such a good God who meets all of our needs and lots of our desires on top of that. Lord, just release a spirit of generosity on this place as You've released Your Spirit. We ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I thought of this for the song during this time. And many of us know this. And so this one is a pretty easy one to sing a cappella. So hopefully you can see the words good enough. I was trying to find a color to help see the words.
My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain
Heavenly Father, you are our great God, our King, and we thank you and praise you for all provision, which it's from you, totally and completely from you. And this we bring unto you, Lord. This is yours. Your tithes, 10% of all increase, and then your offerings as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is above and beyond your tithes. Lord, I thank you and praise you, Lord God, for everything that you've given us. And so we dedicate this to you, Lord God. May it be used in ways with the highest, utmost integrity, because we answer to you, Lord God. And so we seek you for your guidance and direction, because this is to be used for this community and beyond, to be that light for your truth, Lord. For, Lord, Pathway of Hope is yours. And I thank you, Lord, that even 10% of these non-designated tithes and offerings go to the Four Square, which helps also the missionaries around the world. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your love, Lord, for each one of us, for your love upon these and your blessings upon these tithes, your tithes and our offerings, Lord. And may each one be blessed, Lord, for this is yours, to glorify you in your holy name. Thank you for your awesomeness. And thank you for your fullness that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, by your Holy Spirit. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen. So, did you know that is, can I leave this on for a second? Is it okay? This hymn actually has more stanzas. Yeah, it has 8. So we sang half. Did you know that? I had no idea when I was looking at that, but I was like, wow, this is so cool. It was written by Samuel F. Smith in 1832. But I was like, there's 8 stanzas. So, oh, wait, I wanted to put this on the table for you guys so you could look at them. But it's like, isn't this cool? It's like, wow. And I have it in big print, so I don't have to have my reading glasses, so... So anybody? Boy, I've really been messing up on the mic, huh, today? Because you said it a certain way, you know, helps with the click. Yeah, I got the sound guy kind of a little bit challenged, huh? Okay, I want to put this somewhere. And so I don't know where to put it, because I need to, like, have it saved. Can you? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, hon. Okay, so the opening scripture, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We've got an exciting message today, what God has brought for us. So I'm really excited to share this. So let's pray really quick, but if you have your Bible, can you hold your Bible? I love the precious holy word. Or iPhone or iPad or that has your Bible on it. Heavenly Father, truly, let's pray. Truly, we thank you and praise you for your precious holy word. I thank you and praise you that it is living and breathing. So Lord, as we hear your precious holy word, Lord, as I surrender myself as your vessel, your instrument, to speak to each one of us, including myself, Lord, I ask and pray that you will help us to have ears to hear, Lord, what you are going to speak to us through your Spirit, Lord. Help us to have teachable hearts, Lord God. No matter what we know of your word, Lord, there's so much more to learn. So may we grab every insight and revelation that you have for us. Speak to us. Help us to receive everything that you have for us in this message. For Lord, we thank you and praise you for your love for us as we unite together. As your disciples growing closer to you because of our love for you and because of your love for us. I truly thank you and praise you for that. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Richard, do you mind if I use this really quick? Because, like, I have a system, and my system is, like, not there, but I'm a woman, and so I need like, multiple things. So I usually use Pastor Janet's keyboard. And when I'm referring to my slides now, I kind of lay it out here because we don't have, like, this monitor system and all this kind of stuff. And so we're just working with the way that we have it for right now.
And so this works. Is that okay, Richard? Are you okay? And then I'll take it off. Liberty. Then I go get the other one that I have in the other room. Because I remember that, because last time when Richard was here, I go, I know I leave a stand here. I leave a stand here. You know, we have two, and so I left one at home, and I go, well, where is it, you know? And so I go, wow, and we couldn't find it. So Richard, thankfully, he lives close enough. So Denny went and got the stand. His lovely wife went and got the stand for him and brought it back. And so then we were like, oh, it wasn't until afterwards that we saw that the picture, God Bless America, was on the stand, the music stand. So it was here. We had forgotten that we used it for that. So I brought the stand this time, and then he brought his stand. So we were like, we're good. We are good. Oh, our Lord is good. And one thing you know about me is I love the language. I love learning about the words. Because in the words of God speaks to us in his holy, precious word, is there's power. We've seen that last week and other weeks when I go into the Greek and the Hebrew and go into the dictionary and see the power that is in the words. It also explains why some of the different translations go with one word or definition than others. But one of the words that I wanted to go into today was liberty. We just celebrated the 4th of July and 237 years, our birthday for our country. In the Webster's 1828 dictionary, liberty, it says, noun, freedom from restraint. In a general sense, and applicable to the body or to the will or mind. So this freedom, it's a freedom of restraint in a general sense, applicable to the body, the will, and the mind. Religious liberty, it says, it goes on to say different liberties. And on the religious liberty, it says, is the free right of adopting and enjoying opinions on religious subjects and of worshiping the supreme being according to the dictates of conscience without external control. Now, we know part of the reason why America was founded was because of the restraints that they had being able to worship the one true God, supreme being, as this dictionary says. In fact, when Paul and I went to England a few years ago and visited our daughter at the Elginbarry Air Force Base. Her husband's serving in the Air Force. And we were going to Ely. Is that how you said it? Cathedral? There was a little town called Ely, I think it is how they say it. E-L-Y. And we were there, and there was this lady that was giving us a tour. And then we went to the very top of this cathedral, and she showed us her church, and she said, the Spirit is moving there. She says, it is so cool. The Holy Spirit is moving, and we're seeing the power of prayer and answered prayers. It had been more of a conservative church, but God was moving because they were seeking him. And God was answering that heart that was seeking him. She says, we still have some restrictions. We can't do certain things in the church. But God, in spite of that, was still moving. It was interesting to hear that there were still some restrictions. And that's why, one reason, America was founded. In that, David Barton, I don't know if any of you have heard of David Barton and wall builders. I was looking up an article that he wrote. And one of the articles about the 4th of July was on John Adams, a quote that John Adams had said on Independence Day. And he said, It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. And then he went on to say, yes, you know, to have these different things, fireworks, parades, etc. But don't forget the number one reason we had a birthday. The one true supreme being. Because that's where our liberty comes from. It's not our own. It's because of him. In the beginning of this article, it says, America is celebrating her, and this was for last year, so 237th for this year's birthday,
Our unprecedented freedom was the result of specific ideas, many of which were drawn directly from the Bible. In fact, at the 150th anniversary celebration of the Declaration of Independence, President Calvin Coolidge affirmed, "No one can examine this record and escape the conclusion that in the great outline of its principles, the Declaration was a result of the religious teachings of the preceding period. They are found in the text, the sermons, and the writings of the early colonial clergy who were earnestly undertaking to instruct their congregations in the great mystery of how they live." This, our Declaration of Independence, is a lot of, from sermons that many of these men that signed the Declaration of Independence, many of them were pastors, and many of them were preaching the Word of God and seeing how to run the country in a way that was honoring to God and honoring to the people of this country God has blessed us with. Yeah, we have liberty, and this is something that we need to enjoy. Last week, our Bible verse was concentrated, our message was concentrated from Matthew 28. "Come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest." And we saw the power of the words of heavy load, burdens. And some of it was says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Carry heavy burdens, loaded down with burdens. Labor or forced to bear burdens, toiling, struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, tired from the heavy burden you have been forced to carry." The King James Version, labor in there, heavy laden. Yes, there was a lot in those words. But then we saw the power of the word of rest. It goes on to say, 29 through 30, "Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. The mysteries of life are here." And the Holy Spirit, when we surrender to him, because it says in John 14, he will teach us all things. He will remind us of everything Jesus has told us. And this is Jesus, the Word, John 1. The Word became flesh and will always be. And John 14, 26 is where it talks about that he will teach us all things. And then it talks about in John 16, 13 through 15, once again, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into all the truth. And he will tell us of even things to come, because he will speak to us. Everything that is the Father's, Jesus says, he will speak to Jesus, and then Jesus will give it to the Holy Spirit to give to us. This is precious, and this is what we need to know how to really continue to abide in him and to receive that rest in the midst of the dark times that's going on. And it's going to get darker, because it doesn't say, if you read the word, it says when the closer Jesus is returning, which is coming soon, then it's going to get darker and darker. And we're seeing that happening. I don't know about you. Is it just me? Paul and I were talking about that. We have heard of more deaths or more troubles of people going through stuff. I have never heard so much. I mean, all I could do is be praying for all the prayer requests that I know of. And this can be a heavy burden and a wearisome as I'm carrying this load. But Jesus says, I can give you that rest. Because he talks about it in John 16, that, you know, in this world we'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer in the midst of trials and tribulations. But that comes from him. Why? Psalm 139, we see how precious we are to God. I mean, in verse 17 and 18, it says, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I could count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Jesus. Jesus loves us. And Jesus loves each and every one of us. And what I love about also his love, as we see this ocean picture, is Micah chapter 7, verse 19. It says, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities, will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. We have liberty through him. We have a freedom that he washes through. So his thoughts that are the sand, outnumber the sand, includes that freedom that we have as it's washing over us. As we hear the ocean going in and out, we can hear the waves of his forgiveness and compassion and his love for each one of us, covering us. But that freedom is in Christ. I have told you before, the flag, the red, white, and blue, that reminds us of our freedom in Christ. It is in Christ that we have that freedom. The red, the blood that covers us. The white, we are washed whiter than snow. The blue, the divine healing. The power of the great physician, the great divine healer, because he came to make us whole. Some of us may not be feeling that manifestation of that wholeness at this point in time, but it's there. And just don't give up. Keep claiming it, because he is there for us. And he is there to heal our land. He is there if we, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if we come to him with humble hearts, truly, truly seeking him in prayer, then he will hear our prayers, it talks about, and he will answer our prayers, and he will forgive the sins, and he will heal the land. But it takes hearts that are totally and completely his, totally and completely seeking him. Because of the freedom that we have that privilege to go to him in prayer because of his love, the liberty we have. Galatians chapter 5 has some subtitles and different versions that we have of the Bible. The New King James Version, one of the subtitles is Christian Liberty. Another one is Love Fulfills the Law. Another one is Walking in the Spirit. Christian liberty. We have that because of what Jesus did for us. The NIV says freedom in Christ and life by the Spirit for the last part of that, Galatians 5. The NLT, once again, the first part is freedom in Christ, but the last part is living by the Spirit's power. The New American Standard Bible says all of it is walk by the Spirit. We have a freedom because we have the Holy Spirit with us. We are not our own. We are the Lord's. We are one with him as Spirit, as First Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 talks about. We are one with him in spirit. The opening scripture, Christian Liberty, the New King James Version says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We heard about that yoke, that heaviness, that burden, and we don't want to have that. We want to be free of that yoke, of that heavy burden, do we not? And this we have in the liberty of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Stand fast. Do you remember foursquare? What does foursquare mean? I mean, besides the foursquare, in the term back in the 1920s and maybe late 1918, you know, but foursquare meant to stand firm. I mean, you will stand strong and you will stand firm. And we are to stand firm, therefore, in our liberty. And some are not standing firm in their liberty. So therefore, they're not enjoying that rest that God has for them and that freedom from the bondage and the yoke of slavery. Galatians chapter 5, the J.B. Phillips says,
I like the subtitle. It says, do not lose your freedom by giving in to those who urge circumcision. So in other words, who are you know, working more on this is what you do, this is what you don't do. In other words, it's saying to be urged by the leading of the Holy Spirit, because we are all growing in the Lord. And so it's talking about listening to what the Lord is telling you, listening, being teachable by the Holy Spirit, and then standing firm on that as he's teaching you. And as you continue to grow in the Lord, stand firm on what the Holy Spirit has taught you. Plant your feet firmly is how it says. Therefore, within the freedom that Christ has won for us, and do not let yourselves be caught again in the shackles of slavery. Be free. He came to set us free. And so many Christians are walking around and they're still being entangled. And they're still carrying that heavy burden and that load. And they are supposed to be free. In this freedom in the Amplified, it says, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held and snared, and submit again to the yoke of slavery, which you have once put off. Don't take it back. Freedom in Christ, the NIV. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't let yourselves be burdened. That's what we were learning about last week. Freedom in Christ, the NLT. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. This is where the grace empowers us to continue. Now that doesn't mean that you do not look at this word and try to be obedient. It's about the heart issue. It's, you know, James 1:22 talks about, warns about, you know, don't just merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. And then it talks about, Jesus gives the example of the Pharisees. Don't do what they're doing, because they're not doing it with the heart, right? You know, listen to what they're saying, but don't do what they're doing, because what they're saying is not what they're doing. And he's saying this is a heart issue. In other words, we need to be surrendered to the teaching of the Holy Spirit as we look and search him for the truth that is in this precious holy word that is living. Because this is where our liberty and our freedom continues to be fed. Because it said, you know, it says, now make sure that you stay free. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 in the NLT, it talks about how the Holy Spirit will be working with you, empowering you, giving you that desire to be obedient, and then empowering you to be obedient to the Lord. So that's why it's so important not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. I was going to make up a word with those two words together and blend it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 in the New American Standard Bible. It says, walk by the Spirit. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. The Greek for liberty, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, from Galatians 5, it says, freedom, legitimate or licentious, chiefly morally or certainly for liberty. In other words, our liberty. And then it says, it's taken from another word, and I'm not going to pronounce that either one. And it says, unrestrained, to go at pleasure as a citizen, not a slave, whether freeborn or manumitted, an exempt from obligation or liability. Free man, woman, at liberty. We are free. We are free through Jesus's blood, by Jesus's blood, because it covers us. We are no longer bound to the yoke of slavery of sin. We are free from that, and we are empowered to be able to conquer and defeat sin. And one thing that's awesome is we are free from what happened with one man, as we see in Romans 5. Sin came into the world by one man, but by one man who was fully man and fully God, one, we were freed from the punishment of eternal death, which is separation from God, and unfortunately, that eternity for those who don't have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that freedom and that liberty is hell. And here we have that freedom who have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we need to walk in that freedom, continue to be covered by the blood and walking in that. Free. Free in Galatians chapter 5. Free. It means to liberate in the Greek, to exempt from mortal liability, moral or certainty or mortal liability, to deliver, to make free. So are we walking in that? Are we made free? Are we walking in the liberty? Are we walking in the power that we have in this precious holy word, claiming it, declaring it, praying for our lives? Free from the indwelling of sin. As Romans 8:1 talks about, do we walk in that? The subtitles for also for Romans 8:1 and 2, many of us know this, deliverance from bondage, life in the Spirit, life through the Spirit, living by the power of God's Spirit. Because it goes on to say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. It goes on in Romans 8 to talk about, for you, in verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of the adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ through the blood. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to one another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Because we are abiding in him, we have that. And we are spotless brides for him, and we are mighty spotless brides, like that picture over there. I mean, we've got that sword, and we may look pretty, but we're pretty mean too with that word. So watch out. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. A liberty to be able to also be that spotless bride that has that awesome sword. We are empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us so much, who has given us that freedom and that liberty. But we only have it through Jesus being our Lord and our Savior. Again, in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, free, it says, to remove from a thing any encumbrance or obstruction, to disengage from, to rid, to strip, to clear, to set at liberty, to rescue or release from slavery, captivity of confinement, to loose, to disentangle, to disengage, to manumit, to release from bondage as to free a slave, to exempt as, and it gives this example, Romans 6:7, for he who has died has freed us from sin. Second Corinthians 5:17 talks about that, that the birth, when we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, behold, all things are new. Are we walking in that freedom? Are we walking in the newness every day? His mercies are new every morning. Are we walking in there, praising him and thanking him for the liberty and the freedom that we have in him? Wow. And then it says to release from obligation or duty. See, we are no longer Satan's when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have him. And he, with him, we have the possession of freedom and liberty and the power of claiming his word in our lives. Christian liberty, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 talks about this. It talks about how we are set
free because the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you're holding this Holy Bible, the truth shall make you free. Those chains are broken by the truth and the light that comes through this word. And you receive it. The truth shall set you free because you're receiving what Jesus did for you on the cross at Calvary. He died for your sins. The truth will set you free as you read this holy word and open it and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and free you. And you will rise up like an eagle and you will be able to soar and do what God has done because the truth has set you free. The truth has set you free and broken every chain, every bondage. As you claim it and you live it, the truth has set you free. Horace Greeley wrote, it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom through Jesus, because this is Jesus. Are you in the Word? Because in John 8:31 and 32, it says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will be able to have and keep feeding that rest and that empowerment to continue to go on. And that empowerment that you have to be that free, strong, godly Christian for God and for his glory. That light out wherever you are and your influence to others, it will be an influence for him and for his glory. You will be bringing fame to his name, not to yourself. John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So we need to live in that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus came to serve us, to love us. He came so that we could feel his love. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14 says, watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. The power of love. See, Jesus came to earth. He was born. He had his birth. But his birth was so that he could die on the cross for our sins, for everybody's sins, so that we could receive the power of that resurrection. He is risen. The power that there is in that blood that breaks the chains of slavery and bondage. Because then, it is then that we are one in Christ, as 1 Corinthians 6:17 talks about. We then, because we are one in Christ, we can move and be that light to others. But it's not because of us, it's because of the Spirit in us and through us to others. Yes, the truth shall set us free. And a moment that can transform everything is the moment when a person encounters Jesus Christ. And then, it's God's will that none should perish. So here we have where Jesus died for us. And we have the person and we have Jesus Christ. He is the way to God. See, Pathway of Hope is showing that pathway to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, because it's God's will that none shall perish. In 1 Corinthians, that's 2 Peter 3:9, but it also says in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says that God doesn't want anybody to perish, but come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all to be saved, it says. I want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But are we doing that? Because there is a hell. And those who do not have Jesus as our Lord and Savior are on their way there. Whether they know it or not, whether they recognize it or not, they are. They may be blinded. But the truth, once again, shall set them free if they are in this precious holy word. See, the truth shines a light onto us. And the truth comes in, and you will be set free by the truth when you are looking at it. What I love about the word is in a world full of bad news and your only hope is the good news. Well, see, we have that. We have that truth that will light. And I love this one picture where it has the eyeballs, like, you know, and the mouth, like they did. And it's like,
No way, because when I became a Christian, it was like, whoa, this says this. I mean, I had faithfully gone to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter, and memorized in seventh and eighth grade all the books of the Bible, tons of scriptures, and I didn't have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it wasn't until after high school, and I made a lot of mistakes and looked for the Lord in the wrong ways. And then I finally received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, because finally God directed me, knowing my heart was searching truly for Him, not knowing what I was searching for, but knowing I was searching for something, for love, for and acceptance. And then all of a sudden I was invited to a church through my boyfriend's parents, and the man that was speaking, evangelist Louis Palau, was a guest speaker that day, and it was he that the Lord used to help me to know the difference between knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and truly having Him as your Lord and Savior. Knowing about Jesus Christ, I should say, and who He is, and then truly receiving. So it was at that point that I repented of my sins, and I truly received what Jesus had to offer me through that blood that was shed for me. And that was then that I felt this yoke and this burden come off. But then what happened is I wasn't always recognizing that freedom. And I was taken back some of that condemnation and that guilt that Satan wanted me to, because once I became a Christian, he didn't want me to be fruitful for the Lord. And he didn't want me to be successful and prosperous for the Lord. So therefore, I had to repent again. In other words, recognizing that I was taking on something Jesus died for me to not take back on. And so once I recognized that, I was walking again in freedom. And the freedom and the liberty and the strength that I had in Him and through Him. But this truth, I know, it's like, whoa, really? Your word says that? Wow, that is like too cool. It's like a neon light. The truth will set you free in this dark world. It is like, the truth. This is what will set you through. In fact, I love it because it's like we're supposed to receive from the Lord, right? So it's like light bulbs. When you're in the Word, light bulbs go on. And it's like we're taking this light to others. And so they're happy and excited. And then they're like, wow, this is joy. And then they're pumped up with the Word. And then they're able to be strong in the Lord and a bright light for the Lord, because I am pumped up because I am a disciple of the Lord and I'm in His Word, continuing to learn and grow in Him. As we open it, this truth will set us free. It's beautiful. And it's like you hear the breeze going and the clouds going, and it's just the Lord speaking to us through His Holy Spirit. The truth will set us free. And that truth will help us to be a light to others, extending the light in the storms of life that happen in people's lives. There are many storms that are going on. But Jesus is our lighthouse. Jesus is our strong tower. And so we, in the midst of the storms, can offer and bring the light of Jesus to others in the midst of their storms. Just as we receive it and get into that lighthouse and receive what He has for us and that safety from the storms. This is what we have through Him. But in Galatians 5, I just want to carry a little bit more where it says in verses 13 through 16, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And then the subtitle, walking in the Spirit. "I say then," verse 16, "walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But instead, we can help others to know Jesus, because by our love and extension, this is how they will know Him, because our love is because of Him, because we can love the unlovable because of Him in us and through us. And this is how they will know we are His and He is ours. We are His disciples. This is how we will bring fame to His name. See, we are supposed to take His heart to others
And so we need to continually pray, Lord, remind me that what matters most in the end is the love I carried in my heart and the love I have shared in my life. Because it's not about me, it's about you, and it's about others. Loving God and loving him and obeying him and loving others. That's what this is all about. And this is where the harvest, we will be able to reap the harvest as we give his love to others, even to the unlovable. Sometimes that's our own spouses. And I've sometimes have been that imperfect, lovable person. And I thank the Lord that my husband has sought the Lord sometimes for his love to love me in the midst of sometimes a bad attitude attack. A bad attitude. Yeah, sometimes I've had that. But it's because of God's love for us and what he did on the cross for us. Jesus, 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 Jesus loves us. Jesus is our liberty. Jesus is our freedom. Jesus is the one that gives us the strength to go on in the midst of the trials and tribulations that we have. It is because of what he did. So as we now get ready to partake in this beautiful time in the Word, as we see in the Word of remembering him through the Lord's Supper and communion, as we take this time doing what he said to do this in remembrance of him, we are thanking him for the liberty and the freedom that we have by the blood that he shed on the cross, by his stripes that we are healed, by his body that was broken for each one of us. I was getting ready for the jail ministry last night, and I was just thanking God and praising him for my salvation and for this blessed opportunity and this privilege to be able to bring this truth and this light to those that, because obviously their mistakes are showing because they're in prison. In jail. But they have a Lord that loves them so much. And his blood was shed for each one of them. In fact, in the minimum security facility, they have red outfits on. So I keep telling them, you walk around with that red outfit, reminding you of the blood that is covering you. And that your payment of that is paid in full of all the sins. Not only the one that got you in there, or the ones that got you in there, but of all of your sins. Jesus paid that price. So I said, girls, you walk around, you go, I'm looking good, because I'm dressed in red, and the blood of God covers me. But see, we need to walk in that. And see, we have our beautiful flag that reminds us too, the red of the blood that covers us, the white because we are washed whiter than snow, and the blue, that divine healing, the divine physician that made us whole to live life abundantly with liberty and freedom through him. Richard, could you lead us in worship as we come before the Lord? So I will ask the ushers to pass out the elements. But at this time, in this worship time, what I want you to do is go before the Lord, seeking the Lord to have the Holy Spirit reveal to you anything that maybe that mistakes that you need to have, blind spots that maybe has somehow you've been grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit, some unconfessed sin or something what you just know that maybe my attitude wasn't right, my heart isn't right. So you are right before the Lord when you partake in remembrance of what Jesus did for you. So let's take this time as Richard leads us in worship and in this time of just going before the Lord, seeking him, and then they'll be passing out the elements, and then just hold on to them, and then we will partake together. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you that this is done in remembrance of you, but the mysteries right here are right here, Lord God. There is such power in just this precious time of coming before you, doing this in remembrance of you for what you did for each and every one of us. And we thank you for the power that is in this special time of your supper, Lord, of your communion, a time with just you, our spirit with your spirit. Lord, thank you that we are one with you in spirit. And we thank you for this time. Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about this special time of the institution of the Lord's Supper, of when the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he says, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, Lord. And when he had given thanks, Jesus, then he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord God, together, we do this in remembrance of you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for each and every one of us. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for each one of us. And we thank you that by your stripes we are healed. So we are claiming that, Lord God, over our lives. We are claiming it in and through us to others because we are one with you in spirit. We thank you for the power of your body that was broken for us. And now, Lord, we come before you. And you said in the same manner, you, Jesus, Lord God, took the cup. Jesus, you took the cup after the supper and you spoke saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you. So let's partake together in remembrance of what Jesus did for his blood that was shed for us and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. It goes on to say in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Because we're proclaiming that freedom and that liberty that we have in and through and by Jesus Christ. By his stripes we are healed. By his body that was broken for us, we have that wholeness. Through the blood that was shed for us, we are empowered each and every day to claim his name. To have that power of the of prayer, to be able to walk in that freedom and that privilege, to go on. And on and persevere, strengthened by him, empowered by him. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for each and every one of us. Thank you that we have that freedom, we have been set free, and that we have that rest and that peace that only comes from you. It's not like the world gives. So may your rest and your peace guard our hearts and our minds in you, Lord Jesus. May we continue to remember that it's not just about here, but we need to go out. For we are missionaries, each one of us. And every unsaved person out there is our mission field. And we need to go out there and be a light for them, for God, strengthened by him, and the freedom and the liberty that we have in him and through him. And by him. For it is not on ourselves. It is by him that we can do this. We have an assignment. And we can only do this through he who strengthens us. See, we have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth through Jesus Christ. He says, you will do even greater things than I did. So that I will, Jesus will bring glory to the Father. Because it's not even about him. It's about the Father's glory. But he's given that empowerment that each one of us has, that liberty and that freedom to claim and do and be for Jesus, by Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus, to touch the lives of others, to help all the nations to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and help them to love the precious Holy Word and to want to grow in the Word and continue to learn the mysteries of the Word and continue to apply those mysteries as the Holy Spirit continues to teach them as they're surrendered to his guidance and direction. So I dare you to be a disciple for the Lord, to go out there baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and helping them and encouraging them to know the Word. But they need that salvation first, because it's then that the Holy Spirit will start revealing to them the truth. Let us praise and worship the Lord with another song, and then I will close us with a prayer claiming the Word for each and every one of us.